Hello, everybody. Today we have, I would like to welcome everyone to the 2016 BC Lions Season Preview Teleconference. Joining us today on the call, we have BC Lions President and CEO, Dennis Skalski, as well as General Manager, Vice President of Football Operations, and Head Coach, Wally Buono. To begin the call today, Dennis and Wally will begin with opening statements, and following the completion of their statements, we will open up to Q&As. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon, depending on where you are. It's Dennis Skalski. I'd like to first off thank everybody for being on the call, for your level of interest with the BC Lions and the CFL. I think as everybody's certainly aware, the BC Lions believe in community. It's a part of our foundation, and we've had another successful off season with almost 200 community and school visits by our players. I state that to reinforce and remind people that at the core of any CFL franchise, and we're very much there, the players and the coaches make themselves available to be part of the community. And we are just, as I said, we're coming off about 200 visits by our players and coaches to different schools and communities. We're just also on the heels of our normal and fundraising initiative, which is called our Orange Helmet Awards, and we're just approaching the $800,000 mark in terms of dollars being raised over the years to contribute back to amateur football in our province. We continue to see strong numbers in sponsorship. That's coming off a couple of years of record results. That local corporate response and commitment is trending well as we head into this season. Like many professional sports teams this season, we're also entering into what we're calling our season ticket membership concept to allow our season ticket holders an opportunity to have some benefits, and unique and special events are part of those benefits. An example of that is for our draft day coming up next Tuesday. We've got some 70 of our season ticket holders who will be part of the process here and in the building at our facility, and one of them will be announcing our first selection this year. And that's just an example of the importance we place on season ticket holders and our fans. Like other CFL clubs and Adidas, we're excited about our new jersey unveil next Thursday morning, May the 12th. Early comments feedback has been very favorable, and we're certainly anxious to start to share that with our loyal fan base here in the Lower Mainland and BC and across the country. We've also added some fresh new talent in our business side, and that's on the stable of strong players that we had already and people, and we're looking forward to them contributing to our off-season and our off-field business success. An update for everybody on David Braley. I'm pleased to update and respond that David is continuing to show very good progress with his health. I think respecting the club and the family, we've been cautious in what we share, but I'm pleased to say that David continues to be better, and he's on the road to a full recovery. I'm also in a position, an important message to the Lions and fans and CFL fans is that David has meant so much. If there's anything that's reinforced that, this little bit of him being under the weather, the number of people who have expressed their gratitude for what he's done and for all the good things that he's done, in particular this year, because this is the 20th anniversary of his ownership of the BC Lions Football Club. So I do think, as I said, that the best news is our leaders on the way back. I think the other important thing is people ask about is, well, are we ready? Are we ready with the transition without David being at the helm today? Yes, the good news is Wally and I have been working very closely with him since last November and the Grey Cup, and I believe that we've got strong plans both on the business side, and certainly Wally's going to speak to more on the football operations. but very clearly, David, with his leadership and direction, we've got a very good plan as we head into the 2016 season. I think one of the things that I feel the most optimistic personally, but I also, it reflects what Lions fans feel, is that we've got Wally back leading the charge on the football field. And I just think that that is going to pay dividends for us, and the strength of his leadership and his coaching ability is going to shine through to put us back in the winning ways on the field. I would like, before I turn it over to Wally, though, to also acknowledge that we did take the off season to revisit our player personnel and scouting, and Wally's going to speak to more details, but we certainly put more resources, energy, and time against that, and we've had some great leadership with our scouting staff over the last couple, 3 months. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to the winningest coach in CFL history who wants to continue that, and we're confident that that will be the case. Wally?
Yeah, thank you, Dennis, and appreciate the confidence. And, coming back to the sideline for me was something that maybe took me 4 years to try to come to grips with, how I could be the most effective for the BC Lions. And, after reviewing those 4 years and reviewing how things were going to go forward, when we met after Jeff resigned, one of the things we discussed, with David and Dennis was my return to the sidelines. And I felt that for me to be involved, that had to happen so that that position could be a little bit more singular, and for me that's the way I believe that I could be the most effective, both being the head coach and the general manager. So, it's been an exciting few months because, again, no matter how many years you've coached, when you get back to it, you start realizing the amount of work, the amount of responsibilities, and, for me it's something that's excited me to a certain point. And, I just believe that all the work that we put in, with our coaching staff, obviously we're very happy with the staff. We had just had a two-day mini camp here with 30 prospects, and I thought our coaching staff ran the practices very well. We're very well organized, related very, very well to the players. And for me, it just seemed like, old hat. Everything went smoothly, so we were quite pleased. And we were very happy, too, with the talent, as Dennis has said. We have put more resources in scouting. We've committed G-Roy to be full-time. We've hired, some more people to help us with that, Bob Obilovich, and and I think Bob's going to be an asset for us, especially when it comes to the CIS and with his networking down in the States. Neil McAvoy continues to do what he does, which is to coordinate a lot of these things. We finished 8 free agent camps. So we're out there overturning the stones to try to find good football players. And, I think we've improved our football club talent-wise, competitive-wise. When you look at our off-season acquisitions, I think we've brought in 9 very good CFL veterans to bring some depth, bring some competition to our football club. And, I'm excited to get started with the rookies in late May and stuff. So, football is a game of where people have to compete. My whole motto has been, let's bring the best players we can. Let's go to training camp. Let's compete. Let's find the players that are going to make the BC Lions better. We have to be better as an organization. We have to be better as a football club. And obviously it starts with the coaches and the players. The better product you put out there on the field, the better your corporate sales are, the better your season ticket sales are. The better your home attendance is. So, I think everybody understands, the expectations. And, I think when, as Dennis has said, the BC Lions have always been held in high esteem as far as being a competitive, well-coached football team, and I don't see that to be any different this year. So I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, we're looking forward to the draft on May 10th. You know, I will say this, you know, the CIS is doing a tremendous job today in producing athletes that come into the CFL. Both the coaching and the players, I think, are getting to a point where I am so impressed when I review the tapes, review the players, review the coaching on how sophisticated a lot of these programs are. And when you look at what UBC did in a year, but you look at what Blake Neal did, you know, Blake Neal is a great coach, took an organization, you know, tinkered a little bit with it, and all of a sudden, you know, they were national champions. So it gives me confidence that, you know, you can get things turned around quickly in a year. All you got to be able to do is, you know, is create that environment where winning is important and winning is really the only thing. So if you guys have any questions, we'd be very happy to try to answer them.
Certainly. If you have a question, please press star 1 at this time. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question will be from Chris Schultz from TSN. Please go ahead.
Wally Buono, welcome back. All the best in terms of thoughts and wishes to Mr. Raley. Coach, Jonathan Jennings was nothing short of amazing. I was stunned at how well he played football, and I'm trying to look back in my mind and think, who does he look like? And based on the people that you've seen, everybody on this call has a great history with the league. He reminds me a bit about Tracy Hamp. Who does he remind you of?
You know, that's a good question because I haven't been given thought to it. You know, he's got a tremendous arm. You know, he's got tremendous composure, and he really enjoys the game. But yet sometimes the thing that's missed is his athleticism. You know, he doesn't always run around, but when he does run, he can you know, so, I mean, I haven't really given a thought to who he reminds me of, except for the fact, as you say, you know, when given the opportunity, he did play some outstanding football. And the thing that he did is he took an offense and made it exciting. And, you know, exciting football sells. And that's something that the BC Lions obviously want to do a lot more this year than we have in the last couple of years.
What area of the game do you think he needs to improve on?
Well, I think like any quarterback, you know, experience is always a tremendous teacher. You know, the thing about being a quarterback is you got to be consistent. You got to be good for 18 games. It's, you know, you can't be up and down like a yo-yo, and you got to be able to deal with the adversity. And, you know, I think he's learned to do that. But, you know, when you look at it, really only started 7 games. So, you know, we have to understand that he's still a young quarterback. There's still a lot of growth. You know, that he has to be able to, you know, get. But at the end of it, we have to surround him with a team that we're not relying on Jonathan Jennings only to win, that Jonathan Jennings just has to do his part and we will win. So, you know, I think a lot of it falls back on us, Kahari, and myself, to bring in the right system and the right personnel around him so that, you know, some days maybe you got to run the ball 25, 30 times and, instead of trying to make every throw downfield.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Ben Kuzma from Vancouver Province. Please go ahead.
Question for Wally. Hey, Wally. Ben Kuzma here, pinch hitting at, from the end of the bench. Helping out the football beat today. I'm more than happy to. Wally, you know better than anybody this is a quarterback-driven league, and you've been talking about Jennings and everything that he brings to the table. We also know there's that other thing out there in terms of his contract situation. You don't like distractions, Wally. Is this becoming one? Do you think you can get a bridge deal done before main camp?
Well, Ben, I appreciate you coming to that as quickly as we can so we can put it behind us.
Yeah. Absolutely.
To me, it's no distraction, you know, and I don't want to be coy here. Mm-hmm. You know, I think earlier in the off season there was a comment made by his agent, which in my mind I think he's withdrawn, is that, you know, Ben is going to be at training camp. He's going to compete. He wants to lead the BC Lions to victory. So obviously, I think, as we've said over and over again, we understand what's best for the player and what's best for the club, and that process hasn't changed. I feel like you that we don't want any distractions other than we want to have the best competition, and it starts at the quarterback position. And I believe today with Jonathan, with Travis Lule, with McGee, and with Price, we have the ability to have great competition there. So, obviously these things all get resolved at the proper time, which I think it will.
A follow-up question, Wally. Obviously, Travis, it would be a great boon to you, not only as a backup, but how can you help Jennings with everything Travis has been through?
Well, I want to make it clear, Ben, that Travis is not a backup. Travis
mm-hmm.
is going to go to training camp and compete.
Mm-hmm.
And, my job, the coach's job, is to evaluate what goes on and, let competition determine who that's going to be. We're going to have a pecking order, as I've said from the beginning. You got to have a pecking order. Jonathan Jennings has earned the right to be on top of that pecking order.
Right.
You want to be a championship team, then you got to put pressure on your best players. And we're going to put pressure on the quarterback position. And whoever comes out, if Jennings number one and Travis is number two, hey, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because at the end of it, we got a tremendous 1-2 punch at this point. And for you to win in the CFL, you got to have a great 1-2 punch. And, I believe today, with a healthy Travis, and believe me, Travis is a lot healthier today than he's been in 3 years, both physically, emotionally, psychologically. It's not
right.
just a physical thing right now. I think the other two things that are critical is his emotional and psychological state.
Wally, you talked about 1 and 2. What about 3? You've got McGee and Price. Are you confident there that you've got enough there so those guys can battle for presumably pecking order to be number 3?
Well, no, they're going to battle,
yeah.
And, I know that we've even discussed, about Vernon Adams. He's a guy
right.
that, right now does have a couple of workouts in the NFL. He's a guy that we've been tracking for, at least 3 years, from his days at Eastern Washington to his days at Oregon just
right.
recently. You're right. We're going to build our quarterbacking position to be very strong, the best players will play, and the best players will get dressed. And, to me, it's competition. If you can have competition at the quarterback position, you're going to have a good football team.
Thanks, Wally. If I may, a question for Dennis. Dennis, you talked about a lot of your season ticket initiatives, and as you know, it's challenging in this marketplace with the dollar and attracting people through the gates, and then nothing succeeds more than winning. Where are you at with your season ticket base?
Well, Ben, the club policy is not to release actual season ticket numbers. I've learned over the last few years, the problem announcing it in February or in March or in April or May is you have numbers that get bandied about. We continue to grow the base as we head to the 2016 season. So we've had a very good renewal this season. But we also know, based on last year's stadium attendance, that we've got some work to do, and we're up for that.
Are you up, without quoting a number, Dennis, are your renewals, you said your renewals, is your base up over last year?
The renewal number is up significantly over the previous year.
Okay.
The actual ticket numbers are up slightly over last year as
okay.
we get into what I define as our prime time. As you know, Ben, there's only so much media and so much noise in the market, and we're now shifting into football, and that helps us when we're on the phones and when we're selling tickets.
Will there be orange in that new jersey?
Stay tuned for May the 12th.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Dennis.
Well, Ben, there's been, based on the players and those
mm-hmm.
that have had the sneak preview, there should have been some rave reviews. So now it's
okay.
important to see whether the fans feel that way next week.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Bob Walrich from TSN 1040. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This question's for Wally. You referenced the draft here a little while earlier. There's a report out that the league is going to go next week to an 8-round draft. Other than just making a longer list, what are the ramifications of a longer draft, and as a follow-up, not ask to speak on behalf of the league, but what thought process that goes into something like a longer draft when so few seventh-round selections ever make it?
Well, I think a little part of this is obviously, as I spoke on my opening comments, the quality of player in the CIS is just getting better and better every year. And then the other thing is giving players opportunities. You know, obviously with a ratio, we have to have candidates, not initially, you know, today, but when injuries start to occur. And, you know, when things start to occur in September and October, you know, you got to have your hot list of players. And anybody that comes to a CFL camp, you know, hopefully after the 3 or 4 weeks, you know, they become better aware of what it takes to be a pro. So, you know, one, it allows the clubs to have one more player, you know, from the CIS, which then I believe helps their program. Now, if the guy has a fifth year left, sometimes you draft that person in the eighth round knowing that he's going to go back to school, help his program, but also then you could keep tabs on him as he plays and he's evaluated for the following year. Because, as you well know, you know, the ratio in our league is critical. The development of non-imports is critical. But yet we have limitations. We only can keep 10 players on the practice roster. We can only keep, you know, so many because of the salary cap. So, you know, when you can add one more player, even if it's a training camp, I think it's a plus. Plus, I think it sends a message, again, on the quality of work and the quality of players that are starting to be developed in the CIS.
You mentioned Vernon Adams there a minute ago. It's the first time you've mentioned him publicly. Is it your thought, Wally, the strategy will be let him go through the two NFL workouts that he has and then possibly sit down, or have you made overtures to him or his agent with regards to a possible contract offer?
Well, a couple of things, Lowell. One is we want him to go through the NFL thing because I think for a player, sometimes you want him to understand the opportunity he's getting coming north to the border. Okay, and, you know, and I think this is going to, you know, we don't know what's going to occur when he, because we do know he's got to work out with the Seahawks and with the Redskins. Yes, we've been in touch with him for a while now. He's very, very much aware of our interest, of the CFL. You know, when you look at, you know, I don't know if he followed Bo Levi Mitchell, but, you know, he's from Eastern Washington, so I would think he would know who Bo Levi Mitchell is. He would know what he's achieved in the CFL. And, you know, obviously, you know, that then speaks well for us because he's the kind of athlete that would do very well in our league.
That said, are you comfortable? If he you know, stays down there, are you still planning on going to camp with four, or do you want to get a fifth?
Well, again, Lowe, to me, the fifth is Vernon Adams. We could have signed a fifth quarterback, you know, because we've had some decent quarterbacks come to our free agent camps, but I purposely haven't done that, you know, because of the fact that we wanted to see how this played out. It's playing out exactly as we thought. You know, Vernon Adams is tweaking interest in the NFL, but yet when you look at his size, he's not an NFL physical quarterback. I mean, he's a slighter guy. He's maybe not quite as physical a player as, say, a Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson is just, you know, a little bit short. Other than that, you know, he's very thick. He's got huge hands. He's very strong. You know, and he's probably about 220 pounds. You know, so it's even though you might say, well, 5'10", 5'11", guys, that, but we're talking about really two different kinds of athletes at that point, right?
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Eric McKenzie from 24 Hours Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Dennis, my question's for you. Some have viewed your recent marketing material calling Lions football real football as a bit of a jab at the Whitecaps. I was wondering if that was the intent of that messaging and what a campaign like that says about the challenge it is for the franchise to find some new ways to attract fans.
Well, Eric, there was some discussion about what we put up on that banner, which is right next door to our home of the BC Place Stadium. There was a banner up there for the last little while that talked about best sports atmosphere in Vancouver, and that was a statement by itself, and not just certainly against us or any of the other pro teams. So we thought we would have some fun and just be a little cheeky that real football returns on June 25th. And but to give you, you know, some flavor, is it a formal campaign? Well, if it takes on a life of its own, we're very respectful of all the professional teams in this market. In fact, I gave the Whitecaps a heads up before it was going up just to say, we're going to have some fun. It might cause a little bit of a stir. Certainly the fans get into it on social media. And, Eric, that's all good.
Great. Thanks, Dennis.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from Scott Rentwell from TSN 1040. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Wally, a couple of things you mentioned about the quarterbacks. Jonathan's emergence last year came on fast and furious, and everybody expects the best from him going forward. And, of course, Travis is there with a wealth of experience. I know they're different guys, and they have different personalities than two players you've had in the past, but is there anything you take from the way Casey Printer's and Dave Dickinson's scenario played out, you know, a decade ago that you bring into this as far as insight as to how you'll handle them?
Scott, that's a great question. And you know what, I haven't really given that thought. But, you know, I think when you look at, you know, I don't want to get into personalities, but we're talking about two totally different personalities when it comes to Casey Printer's and Jonathan Jennings. You know, and again, I don't want to say Dave and Travis were closer, you know, but, you know, we're talking about totally different, you know, relationships, you know, and at this point, you know, I don't want to even give a hint that that might be an issue, because in my mind, you know, I think everybody understands, you know, the players especially have to understand what's expected, and we're expecting them to come in, compete, but at the end of the day, they both got to help each other, you know, so who helps who more, you know, that's relative. If Jonathan's got the number one snaps, and then I would think Travis would be his eyes. If Jonathan is the guy on the sidelines, then I would think he'd be Travis's eyes. You know, if you want the football club to win, then you got to put your self-interest, you know, aside, and whoever has the ball that day or that play, I would hope that the guy standing on the sidelines would be, you know, supporting them, because, again, it's the BC Lions that win and it's the BC Lions that lose. It's not an individual, right?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. There's absolutely zero controversy the way it played out with those other two players I mentioned. I just wonder if there was anything from an on-field perspective that you got out of that you learned from that made you say, okay, I would handle it this way this time, you know, if there's a tie or if I'm leaning one way or the other.
Well, you know, my thing is, you know, if you're talking about if it's a tie on their level of excellence during training camp, you know, then I would say, hey, you know, to change the order, you got to show me that you're better than the guy that you're competing with. Okay, so, you know, that this is all part of why you set the order, okay, is that you set the order and you say, hey, you want that position, then you be better than the guy in front of you. And if that's clear, I got no problem with it. I don't believe the players would have any problem with it. And, you know, because at the end, this is professional sports. It's about competing. It's like I told the first-year guys, the very first statement was, hey, guys, you're here, you're going to be evaluated, you're competing. Okay, don't tell me that you don't understand, okay, because when you step on that field, you're competing and you're being evaluated. And, you know, when it's time to make a decision, that's what we're going to base it on. And you know, so we're going to forewarn you about all that. And I believe Travis and Jonathan, or Jonathan and Travis, understand that it's going to be a tough competition. But yet it's going to be a competition, in my mind, that's going to make them better and us better.
Wally, you also talked about bringing in a number of CFL veterans to improve your talent level. What did you see as the biggest need for your club in terms of improvement, and do you believe you've addressed that through free agency?
Well, Scott, again, I appreciate you asking that. See, I believe, this is just me, that the BC Lions have improved the most, okay, on paper. That's it. Okay, when you look at Nick Moore, Mike Edom, Levy Adcock, Anthony Allen, Jeremiah Johnson, Brandon Stewart, Tim O'Neill, Brian Turner, Keith Price, these are all guys who are good football players who will come in. There's no growth. You know, there's no learning curve. Okay, they fit right in. They know what the CFL is all about, and I believe they have made this football club better. Now, add that with Adam Big Hill, Solomon, Jovan, Travis, Manny Arsenault, Kirby Fabian, the guys that we've signed, David Menard, Ryan Phillips. Now, you fit all those guys in, all of a sudden, you got a much more balanced, competitive football team that's got not only experience, okay, but understands what the CFL game is and how to win. So I believe going and starting off the day one at training camp, we'll be a better football team that will be end of the season.
One last question, Dennis. This one's for you. It was pretty well publicized that you were going to take a step back in terms of your workload this year. And David Braley, of course, we all wish him the best. As Chris echoed earlier, he was going to take over some of those day-to-day activities. With David ailing right now and on the mend, do you step back into a role more like you've been accustomed to in the past, or is there someone who picks up some of the slack right now as far as the presidency is concerned?
Thank you, Scott, for the question. The fact is, I never did leave the role. It was intended that I would step back on April the 1st, given what took place in about the middle of March. We just continued on, and that's what I see into the foreseeable future. But I will say in the evaluation between the Grey Cup last year and when we got together, the leadership of this club is in good hands with Wally, George Chaika, Neil, a number of our people. We've got some bench strength, but I will continue to be the president and CEO until Mr. Braley's back to the right health. And then I'll step aside, as was the desire when I first bridged that with him in November. But as I said, he come up with a plan B, which was a new vice chairman role that was still going to see me be around and help out at the league level and play a role with some of the strategic issues with the club. So that's where it is, Scott. So I really never did relinquish the title or the role. And we'll see where that goes and for how long.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Wally.
Appreciate it, Scott.
Thank you. Once again, you may press star one for any questions or comments. We do have a question from John Nanine from Radio 1 Now, Kamloops. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys, you're coming to town here in about 3 weeks. How does everything shape up here first for rookie camp? Do you have a ballpark figure on numbers? I guess this question is to Wally. And what do you expect as far as the competitiveness level out of rookie camp there at Hillside Stadium?
Well, again, we always look forward to coming to Kamloops. And, you know, TRU has been, a tremendous facility for us. And last year, the other thing that was tremendous was the weather. It was a great 3 weeks, and again, we're expecting the same thing. And the thing, as I said to you before, I was very pleased with our 2-day rookie camp that we had here, because of the fact that the quality of the athlete that's going to come in and compete. And so we expect training camp to be competitive, as it is every year. But I think the more good football players you can put on that practice field, the better it's going to be. And, players are going to have to understand that, they do it our way or they're not going to be here. And, we're not going to put up with it. And, we got to, as I said, we know what our mandate is. Our mandate is to put a competitive, entertaining, winning football team on the field. And, winning costs. You know, costs the players, costs the coaches, it costs me. And, you know, if we can't sacrifice for the cost, then we got to find players that will do that. So, you know, I think the players understand the message just from talking to a lot of the veterans. You know, when you see them, you know, I talked to Ryan Phillips in Seattle. I said, Ryan, you look like you did 10 years ago. He says, Coach, I understand, you know, what's at stake. You know, so when a veteran of 11 years who's been an All-Canadian, an All-Star, tells you he understands what's at stake, I would think the other guys should. If they don't, you know what, they'll find out fast enough. You know, football gives opportunities to the guys who are on that field. And if they make the most of it, they're here. If they don't, they'll be somewhere else, which is fine with me.
Just to follow up to that, it's more of a local question here. It revolves around Derek Yatchison, who graduated here from the Kamloops Broncos and has been part of the organization now for 2 or 3 years. Where do you see him in the plans this year, and does he, you know, get off the practice roster at any point?
Well, you know, that's again, you know, I don't want to be, but that's up to him, not up to me. I mean, you know, he's got to prove, and he's going to be given an opportunity because he's coming to training camp. You know, I mean, you know, getting off the practice roster is not an easy thing. Competing against, you know, guys who have played professional football for years is a difficult process. So I know that he had a good year at junior. I think he was the leading receiver in junior football. The practice roster, like an Andrew Harris, is just the beginning point. You know, you got to start somewhere, and at least he will come into training camp, you know, feeling comfortable, understanding what's expected. And if he can make the 46-man roster, you know, that we'd be happy. But given the opportunity is what's most important at this time, right?
Thank you. Once again, you may press star 1 for any questions or comments. We do not have any questions at this time. I will turn the meeting back over to Mr. Barrett.
Everybody, I'd like to thank you for all joining the call today. Special thanks to Wally and Dennis who took the time out of their day to join us on the call today. For the media who are on this call, just a reminder that we will continue the season preview calls tomorrow with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you all for your participation.